Hello and welcome to Getting to Know Your Friends. My name is Zach Rowland, your host as always, and today I have with me the most wonderful friend of all, Amy Gerlich. Yeah.
Hooray.
I always give applauses by myself to my guests because I'm my only person here, so I mean audience wise, like I feel like audience and host and all of that included.
Sure.
So. It's just a weird thing I do.
It's not weird.
Great. So, Amy, I want to get to know so much about you. I have so much little time to do that, so let's get started. So, let's talk about where you're from, first of all, because you're from a different part of the United States than I am.
I was born in Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and then when I was 3, moved to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania,
mm-hmm.
and then when I was 10, I moved to New Hampshire.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. And that was just because of, like, job stuff or family stuff?
My dad and mom got a divorce, mm-hmm. and then my mom met someone else and remarried when I was 3.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, well, I'm moving to Pennsylvania for a job. Come and marry me. Mm-hmm. Bring your kids.
Yeah.
And my mom was like, okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. So when you were there, you know, schooling, like, what interests did you have when you were going through school? Like, did you already know that you wanted to be, like, a performer when you were young, or?
I don't think I knew. I think everyone else knew. Mm-hmm. Like, everyone else was like, you're so entertaining, you have, like, such an imagination, you're a weird kid. And, I just liked make-believe, I liked playing.
Yeah.
So I think I think people told me I was going to be a performer, and I was just like, okay, makes sense.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you do anything when you were younger, like plays or anything? Because I did plays when I was younger, like these silly little, like One Was Rosie, I think, or something like that. Did you ever hear about that?
Uh-uh.
It was this fun little musical we did when I was in elementary school. So I was like, I don't know, I guess that, like, I always knew kind of that I wanted to be, like, in that moment of having fun and singing and stuff like that. So
yeah.
Did you do anything?
I did. We would have like book reports or like projects or something in school. And I remember I was in fourth grade. I asked my teacher if I could, during recess, gather some kids together and direct them in a scene.
Oh yeah.
And, present that as my project. And then she was like, yes. So that's what I did during recess. I would gather people together and be like, okay, we're gonna, you know, rehearse this scene. I mean, I didn't know what I was doing, but
sure.
It felt natural. So that's how I kind of started. And then anytime I had to do like an oral report, I would make like a weird video.
Oh yeah.
As a kid. Cool. I still have a bunch of them on VHS.
That's awesome.
And then my first play was when I was in, when was it? I guess, like, 6th grade?
Yeah.
5th or 6th?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. So then you, kind of took that, and did that go with you on then to, like, high school and?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Junior high and high school, I was in the theater department, did plays.
Mm-hmm. Anything mm-hmm. you remember?
Did Rumors.
Rumors.
Uh-huh. That was my nice. Big, that was like my big comedic kind of opening.
Yeah, yeah. I was never in Rumors, but we did like The Foreigner and The Nerd and The Odd Couple. You know, and our directors were always switching things up, and they did like a different gendered Odd Couple, so it was two females, but they did like two males one night, two females one night,
yeah.
two males one night. I was like,
that's
oh,
fun.
That was great. I love that, like switching the genders of it up and the performers and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it just more interesting. Like, they're interesting plays in themselves, but when you put another fun aspect onto it for the layover, so it's like, it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So where did you go to college?
Went to University of New Hampshire,
mm-hmm.
then Humboldt State University, and mm-hmm. then Marymount Manhattan Performing Arts.
So Humboldt is in California, though. Like,
correct.
Yeah, you did a little transfer?
Yeah, I did a exchange program.
And, like, was there a reason, like, you just wanted to go check out Humboldt, or, like, you wanted
oh,
to...
Oh, no, I wanted to leave my school, and that was one of the options.
Mm-hmm.
Is, like, you could pay your state prices if you could find... If somebody from the school you wanted to attend your school.
Yeah.
So I just lucked out. Someone from Humboldt wanted to go to UNH.
Oh, okay.
And I wanted to go there for theater because I heard that there was like some crazy theater stuff happening there.
Yeah.
And weed. It's like the best weed in the world.
Yeah. So. No kidding.
And I was still in college, so I was like, let's do this.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're going to be major suppliers, I think, when everything kind of shifts around. Like,
they already are.
Well, of course, but yeah, like it's not well known.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Nice. So where did that take you? Or did you do any like projects that you like were really proud of, or like you had a lot of fun with? Or I mean, what was that experience like?
Just college in general.
Yeah.
Theater in general.
Yeah.
It was great. I mean, I didn't do a lot of weird experimental stuff. A lot of comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the weirdest one I did was the Sam Beckett monologue, Not I,
mm-hmm.
which is like a 38-minute long monologue with ellipses.
Wow.
Every like 5 words.
Wow.
And it's nonsensical. So yeah. It's like it repeats and repeats, but like the, you know, I don't know. If you ever check it out online, you'll be like, I don't understand how anyone could possibly memorize this.
Yeah.
But that was cool because I was in a straitjacket,
mm-hmm.
and my back was to the audience, and there was video cameras pointing at all different areas of my face, and that's what they watched on monitors.
Yeah.
So, like, they would watch me, like, writhing around a little bit, but also, it was mainly, like, I had to stay as still as possible.
Wow.
It was pretty intense.
Awesome.
And that took me off of doing theater after that.
Oh, just because it was, like, so intense that you just...
Yeah, it was, like, the hardest thing I've ever done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Cool. And so since being sort of your friend, like, I know that you traveled across country,
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. Was this, what time period does that lie in? Like, when did you do a lot of your, like, traveling, I guess?
Well, before I moved to Humboldt, mm-hmm. I took the summer and traveled all over the United States following fish.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, fish head. Nice.
And so I got to see almost every state except for like Texas and Hawaii and Alaska and Washington State.
Wow.
And it was cool. I mean, it was like speedy. Every day it was a new state.
How did you like have money, or did you just like make money, or?
I had zero money when I left. Oh, I have $50 when I left, but it was me and my friend in her car.
Uh-huh.
And we drove from New Hampshire to Idaho.
Uh-huh.
And after that, like, the tour started on the west and it came back towards the east.
Okay.
So we, after Colorado, we could not travel together anymore. So I ended up, like, just different things. Like, I hitchhiked with friends. I ended up, my old prom date from high school, who I'm still very good friends with, he was on tour too, and we met up, and I'm like, you need to give me a ride.
Wow.
So, yeah, I made it back to Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up selling, like, my friends who, like, made burritos or whatever to sell at the concerts.
Oh, okay. So you had some sort of, like, income-ish thing, or you would help?
I would just do it so I could eat. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
So I would, like, make enough money to go and buy whatever food I wanted.
Right.
I wouldn't usually eat their food.
Yeah. Was it just because it was weird, or, like, they just...
No, it's just, like, I had been eating their burritos.
Oh, you get sick of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, after so long of eating the same thing over... Like, the place that I work at, I just, like, can't even eat there. I'm just, like, I don't... know. Yeah. I'll just wait. Nice. Yeah. So, then when you got back to the East Coast, then what happened next?
Then me and my boyfriend at the time drove out to... school. We both went on exchange out to Humboldt.
Okay, so then that was an actual, like, planned event thing that happened.
Yeah, that was just, like, straight across the country.
Gotcha,
No stopping, really.
Cool. So then, but you've been in New York for...
Since 1997.
Oh my gosh. What a time. Like, I can't even imagine what, like, New York was like in the 90s. I guess the late 90s was a little different than, like, the early 90s.
Yeah, it was... pretty cleaned up by the time I got here, and
right,
Yeah.
So I don't know, just lay it on me. Give me some New York life experiences, because, I mean, I'm not really that familiar with it being from Kansas City, so...
Well, what do you... I mean, there's a million stories.
Sure. Like, what's the first one that pops into your head? What's the one that you, like, does your distinct, like, I... Like, let's say your distinct, like, I've arrived in New York story.
Probably the first day I got here.
Yeah?
I had, like, $23 in my pocket.
Mm-hmm.
My parents were dropping me off for my final year in school.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know anyone. I had quit smoking cigarettes.
Mm.
My best friend had just passed away a week before.
Oh, my gosh.
My parents were going to take me out to dinner, and mm-hmm. my mom was so frazzled by New York that she just, like, handed me $20 and was like, we got to go.
Really?
Yeah. So I, like, went up to my little tiny... dorm room apartment.
Aww.
And cried for about 2 hours.
Aww.
And I came back downstairs and immediately bought a pack of cigarettes.
Aww. And it's never stopped since, huh?
You mean smoking butts?
Well, that or New York in general, but yeah, smoking butts.
Oh, I've quit many times. Yeah. Here and there.
Yeah, as we all have who are smokers. Yeah. I'm currently quit.
I know, I love it. Good for you.
Stay strong, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels good. It feels good to, you know, like, I know, like, I used to have that problem with getting up, and I, like, the reason I really quit recently for the last, you know, few months or so is because I was wheezing. And it was wintertime, so I know wintertime people get a little weird, but at the same time, I was just like, ugh, my grandpa has lung cancer, my grandmother had cancer, my other grandfather's got stuff, and I'm just like, I don't know. The mortality of it all just kind of, like, hit me, and I was like, I think I'd like to not do that anymore, just yeah. so I could live a couple more years and enjoy it. So it's been good. I don't want you to think I'm just, like, doing my anti-smoking campaign on you, but...
No, I'm getting pretty close.
Yeah.
I'm definitely eased off a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Nice. So, something else that I know that you, like to do or you were doing was making, like, films and stuff. So you were working with kindergartners for a mm-hmm. while, making... Right, kindergartners?
Kindergarten through third grade.
Through third grade. Cool. Mm-hmm. And what was that experience like?
Awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah. It was basically a job that I constructed
mm-hmm.
for myself and did it for 8 years.
Nice. 8 years.
Just quit.
Recently?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And how does it feel to, like, kind of, I don't know, close that chapter in your life?
I don't know. It's only been a week.
Yeah? You're not really used to it yet?
No. I'm sure it'll hit me, like, not working with kids, but I need the break.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always good to take a little break from something you do for so long, I suppose. I mean, yeah, I don't have anything I really have stuck to for that long. Job-wise, like, I've always hopped around. I mean, comedy, yes. Like, I've always really been interested in it, but I haven't really, like, fully immerse myself the way that I'd like to in it. You know, like, you dabble, mm-hmm. but then you get into it hardcore and you're like, oh, I'm never gonna give this up. It's like an addiction. Fucking comedy and cigarettes, they're like hand in hand. So when you got to New York and you started taking classes and you finishing up your degree, did you find any other opportunities? I mean, what other things, like, were you working with any specific actors, directors, anybody, like, kind of helping you find your way in New York?
No one really helped me find my way in New York. I had to find it all on my own. But, my senior year of college, I ended up working with Charles Bush and, Richard Foreman.
Mm-hmm. And their directors? Teachers? I'm not really sure.
Richard Foreman is probably the most infamous and famous experimental director in the world.
Yeah.
And he runs the Ontological Hysteric Theater.
Mm-hmm.
So I was one of his... It's a huge deal to become one of his interns. Usually, like, a couple hundred people apply for it, and mm-hmm. 10 get it.
Yeah.
To work for no pay. Ridiculous, crazy hours, and it's experience.
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. Ended up being his script tech supervisor.
Cool.
Which means that I would write notes in the script, and they would change within every second.
Yeah.
And I had to keep track of it all.
Oof.
And anyone that's worked with Richard Foreman or has seen one of his plays knows that just working for him at all must be the most insane thing you've ever done, which it was.
Yeah.
And Charles Bush is a famous actor / playwright who most normal people would know him for The Allergist Wife that was on Broadway. He wrote that.
Yeah.
But he is started off as a performance artist / drag queen.
Oh, yeah.
But I think that he thinks of himself more as like a female impersonator. I mean, he's a big gay man, but like he would perform in his own pieces. Like Vampire Lesbians of Sodom, Psycho Beach Party, which was made into a movie.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And he played the female detective in it, but when he used to play it, he used to play the young ingenue, the little redhead.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But then they had to change when they went, when they made the film.
Oh, it was Hollywood, and he was in his 50s.
Ah, so, it wouldn't have worked out so well.
Yeah, but a lot of people do his plays like normally, like what we were talking about before. They'll do Psycho Beach Party, but they'll put the girls in the girl roles and the boy in the boy roles, so it looks very normal.
Yeah.
But all of his stuff, you know, was always very, like, drag-friendly and underground culture, kind of weird performance art theater stuff.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice. So what's, like, your favorite part about New York? Like, what do you love about living here and being here?
I like the convenience of being in a place that's got everything, because I don't like to, like, go out that much, and so I like to be able to, on a whim, I'm gonna go to this weird place, or that weird place, or this neighborhood, or go see the best theater, or go see the best this or that, or music, or... So I like that. I like the convenience of it.
Yeah, I always tell people that New York is its own universe. I mean, you get here, and there's just, like, a totally different energy. And it's incredible. Like, I don't know. Especially when I got here for the Del Close Marathon, I was like, man, I could feel that energy just, like, swarming over me. And all weekend long, it's just been incredible. So, yeah, that's been... really awesome. I think you're right. It's just that convenience, but that liveliness, like that. There's everything. Yeah.
And the food.
Oh, the food.
I mean, I've never moved because of the food. Like,
it's so good.
Yeah. There's, you can't go wrong. You could go into like the crappiest little deli and still get the best sandwich of your life.
Yeah. I got, honestly, I feel like the best pizza the other night. And it was $1.50, and it was like the sign that was like best dollar slices in the world, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna put you to the test. And I went in and I grabbed one. It was delicious. I don't even know what it was about it. It was just a piece of pepperoni pizza, and I'm like, this is the best piece of pizza I've ever had in my life. It was kind of weird, but it was totally true. Yeah, the food is astounding. So, what's your favorite like place to go? Like, not like necessarily like a theater or a bar, but like in the city, because there's so much, I mean, life here.
Yeah.
Where do you love to go?
I love Central Park. I love the Upper West Side. But I like the areas in Central Park. Like, I love where I live uptown. I love the ice rink and the pool, and I love the flower garden.
Because you're in Harlem. Yeah, which is really cool. This is my first experience, like, getting to actually see Harlem. I usually am down more towards the Midtown area when I visit, so...
Yeah, which is, like, gross.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
In Harlem is way more, I feel like, relaxed. I don't know. Like, just in this area that we're in, and, yeah, being down anywhere, downtown, Midtown, ugh.
It's lots of noise, lots of traffic.
Yeah.
Not so much up here.
No. It's good. Nice. Yeah. And so have you lived in Harlem most of the time you've lived in New York?
Yeah, I moved into this exact apartment about 4 months into moving here.
Oh, wow.
So 97.
Dang. And it's just been, it was like, this is your home. You wanted to keep it this way.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, it's a huge apartment for cheap. And
totally.
So I'll stay here until they kick me out.
awesome. Nice. So, you found your way to the UCB, the Upright Citizens Brigade, at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And what all have you done with them? I mean, that's just, one facet of your, life doing performance stuff. But, what are some of, the things you remember doing or,
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah, I know.
I was on a Herald team.
Mm-hmm. What was the team?
It was called Filth.
Filth.
And, I met the Kronk boys there in my level one, and we became a team in 2001. Mm-hmm. And I've been a team. We just did a show yesterday.
Yeah, that's you and Neil Casey and Joe Wingert and Ryan Carls.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're great. I got to meet them, Joe slightly, but the other guys, and just super nice, hilarious. Yeah. For me, that was kind of a big highlight just to get to see you guys perform and be there and just be like, oh, this is really cool. Because, there's a solid piece of history there. You guys did some really awesome stuff, so.
Yeah. We like each other.
Mm-hmm.
I co-directed and was the artistic director of, stuff for the show called Kilgore.
Mm-hmm.
At the theater that Matt Walsh wrote, and Matt would direct a lot. And then he changed hands and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I co-taught the documentary with Billy Merritt at the UCB, and I was in about 1,000 million shows there.
Uh-huh.
Bit shows to themed shows that were yearly, and I've been on Wicked Fucking Queer since 2004.
Yeah.
Which is the original bit show from the Del Close Marathon.
Yeah, it's great.
Originally, it was, a lot of bigwigs. I was able to perform with Amy Poehler in it once before she kind of, retired out of
it. Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, her and Jason Mantzoukas for many years, Rob Corddry, TJ Jagodowski did it with us 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
We always have, special guests and stuff.
Yeah.
Ari Voikidis and I have been probably the longest running members in it at this point. Yeah,
Ari's great. He's super funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anthony Atamnik used to do it with us.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny. I feel like if he actually did the show with us this year, he probably wouldn't have gotten hurt in the Pie Babies one.
Yeah, it's sad that had to happen. That's because he would have made, I don't feel like he'd known that there was this craziness happening. Right. And you always wonder how things would have turned out differently.
Well, we were about to walk out on stage, and he just looked at us all, and he goes, oh, hold on, let me get a wig. And I go, you're not invited. we walked out.
Ew, that's so funny.
Well, he did it with us last year, and he was, already dressed up as this, Middle Eastern.
Oh.
So he came out as that, and it just, it wasn't in the vein of the show.
Yeah.
And it was, he didn't really do much on purpose. When he would come out with, Jeter has AIDS on his bare chest, that was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. The thing that's the one thing with the bit shows and why they're so much fun is the overcommitment to it, you know?
Yeah.
Wicked Fucking Queer was just, the guys and girls were just so over the top, and I loved it because it's out of control and it's fun, and it's just whatever. It cracks my shit up. But yeah, if you come out in some sort of other garb, it's not gonna work.
Yeah.
I saw a couple of other ones the other night when I was watching that were just I get where you're going for, but you're not dressed right, or you're not doing it. You definitely, obviously having the original one there, it's or one of the, things that started it all off, how important it is to really sell it. So
yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. But you don't do just UCB related stuff though, right? I mean, there's a lot, you do all kinds of stuff. You do indie stuff.
I run indie cage match at UCB. So mm-hmm. I try to get indie teams from all the different theaters. But, you know, I'm on the performer page at the Pit because I do a show there once a month called Chica Go Go, mm-hmm. which is like all old Chicago vets getting together. Joe Bill and Philip Markle, Jody Lennon, Doug Stoley.
Yeah.
All those kind of people.
All excellent performers. Really funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I don't really do anything at the Magnet anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I mean, everybody, it doesn't matter what theater you're from, is also doing indie stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Indie stuff is just considered anything that's not house team related for many of the theaters.
Sure.
So even, like, the biggest of wigs have a little indie team they have, or a duo that they do stuff with.
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's important to, you know, to think about stuff like that, because if you don't let yourself try new facets and go down different avenues artistically, you feel like, yeah, you're rehashing like that old same thing over and over again, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, yeah, you need to have those other creative outlets than the one you, it's like, yeah, bad, falling into like a bad habit of just reliving the same life.
Well, you never want to rely on your house team, or you never want to rely on just like, if you're on a Herald team, just doing that, like, you should always be working and trying to find your niche. Like, I think you get into comedy and then you realize, like, oh, maybe I'm more of a writer, more of a producer. So the more you try and experiment with it, I think the easier it is to find what you should be doing in this world,
mm-hmm.
like, in the comedy world.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so I'm going to put a break in our conversation to do a little bit that I do. It's called the lightning round of questions.
Okay.
And I'm just going to ask you random questions, and then you just respond accordingly. So
I love it.
All right. Favorite color?
Red.
The last time you wanted to cry?
Oh, probably late the other night during the Duck Close marathon.
This is an emotional moment for you.
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, no. I guess the last time was waking up 20 minutes before my Crown show, and I immediately started to, like, weep.
Oh.
I was like, because I did it again.
Yeah. The one thing you wish you could go back in time that you could redo again?
Oh, God. Nothing?
No. No regrets?
Life is life, man.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. First kiss?
Ugh. It was terrible. It was in my parents' basement. It was with my boyfriend at the time, Brian Murphy, who were still Facebook friends. And it was just the sloppiest, grossest. I didn't know how to kiss. I don't think he did either, even though he acted like he did. It's awful. Terrible. Mm. Dumb. Bad. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The last time you actually made something, like, crafty?
Oh, like 2 days ago when I made those Crown tickets for the, Crown extravaganza.
The golden tickets?
Golden tickets for the students, yeah.
Yeah. The most, proud moment you've had, either artistically or non-artistically, whichever you prefer, or both?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know, I feel like daily people do say something to me that makes me feel proud of what I do.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be able to pinpoint a moment.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe this weekend I felt really proud to, like, be on the poster.
Yeah.
The Del Close Marathon poster. That was, like, one of those kind of achievements that I would never dream of,
mm-hmm.
or think could possibly happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been immortalized as a cartoon character.
Yeah.
As a famous character from the UCB.
Definitely. Not only that, but then Crump Breakfast, too, is on there. Because that's like a staple as well, you know?
Right.
Definitely.
I love that people think it's a bit show. Somebody referred to it as a bit show the other day.
Oh, yeah?
Well, they like, on the fashion,
mm-hmm.
UCB fashion, follow fashion for Del Close Marathon, somebody had made, like, a little picture that was, like, Crump bit show outfit inspired, and it was like bacon pants and like waffle shoes and like it was like I love bacon t-shirt.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
that's interesting. oh, I had another question and I totally
lost it.
Lightning round. Jesus. Oh, favorite movie?
Two. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and Fast, Cheap, and Out of Control.
Mmm. Nice.
Yeah.
Early comedic influences.
Oh, easy. Buster Keaton and, anything animated that was, like, the, like, quick jump Saturday afternoon, like, the things that were just, like, two birds in a tree being like, well, it's all living.
Yep.
You know.
I love those.
Anything that was just, like, kind of Family Guy-ish before Family Guy was around.
Yeah, yeah.
Looney Tunes.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Fiction or nonfiction?
For what?
For anything.
I don't know, that's a tough one. I feel like my whole life is fiction, like, mm-hmm. like make-believe and stuff.
Yeah.
So I enjoy moments of nonfiction as well. Yeah. I don't know. I would say half and half for me.
Half and half?
Yeah.
Nice. And then fantasy or sci-fi?
Oh, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess over the years I've realized that more of the films that I enjoy are fantasy-related.
Mm-hmm.
But I love sci-fi. I mean, I think anytime fantasy and sci-fi can be combined, that's the ultimate dream.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of something like fantasy sci-fi related that are combined. It's like,
I think all sci-fi is kind of fantasy anyway, yeah, so. Sure.
I would say, like, for me, Star Wars, you know, that's my jam. So it's like, that's the one of the things that I feel like is fantasy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
Because there's such these fantasy creatures.
Lots of puppets.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, with the, Henson. Yeah, Henson helped out with some of those creature stuff on set with that.
Henson did Jabba the Hutt?
Yeah. Yeah, and then, but then you also have that, like, this is, you know, a new space and time or a different time period in this scientific world where we can travel at light speed, beyond light speed. And,
yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, the combination of both definitely, I think, is good. All right, and the lightning round. Done.
Oh, that's it?
I wish I had a bell or something, or like a lightning sound, or I don't know, a lightning sound? That's stupid. That's my lightning sound. Yeah. It's just something that we kind of brought in at one point. It's nonsensical. I don't even know where the questions come from. Sometimes I think of the most ridiculous stuff.
They come from your head.
My mind. Yeah. Cool. So, what other hobbies do you do? Besides all the work stuff, are you a collector? Give us something that, you know, is like totally non-artistic related. Like, what other fun, funky things are you into?
Non-artistic.
I know, right?
That's tough.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I collect fairy stuff, but I feel like that's art. So that doesn't count.
To an extent, but that's still, I think, a little bit different.
So I collect anything odd that's fairy related. Mm-hmm. Books.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter if it's kid books or adult books.
Where did the fascination kind of start?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's when I found out that fairies, like, typically or historically, in myth were like sassy kind of pranksters.
Yeah.
And I like that. I like that idea of, like, something mm-hmm. so adorable and sweet looking that was, like, actually mischievous.
Sure. I get you, because I have the fox is my spirit animal. So for me, it's like foxes are another one of those things because they look so cute, but they're very mischievous. And they're very, like, they're scavengers, and I love that. So that's awesome. Plus, you remind me of a fairy.
Aww. Yeah. I like collecting any old Buster Keaton footage I can find.
Yeah.
So I have a lot of really obscure stuff, like commercials he shot,
mm-hmm.
like outtakes of commercials. Mm-hmm. What else? God. I mean, everything in my life is art related, so sure. I can't even really.
Yeah. Does it ever make you feel like you're not, I don't know, like, I don't want to say like not normal, but, you know, like that idea of like normality or whatever. Like, does it ever make you like feel like, well, I should do something that's like a real life person thing or whatever?
Yeah, like I get I've told you this before, like I get very excited to like do my laundry once a week,
mm-hmm.
and like grocery shopping, mm-hmm. and, you know, cleaning my house. Like, just stuff that makes me feel like this is what everybody does.
Yeah.
It makes me feel kind of connected. But, mm-hmm. yeah, I spend my entire day, for the most part, in watching people in imaginary scenarios mm-hmm. and then giving them notes or doing it.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of, like, it's to me, it's pretty amazing that I get to, like, I can be a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Or a unicorn every day if I want.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just walking through the park the other day with some friends of mine in New York here, and we were watching the caricature sketch guys or whatever, and I think it was Christian Simpson, said about, like, he wanted a unicorn in his, he wanted to be, like, be a unicorn in his sketch.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, walking by the guy, and I just looked over at him, and I go, "Hey, you do unicorns?" And he just looked at me like, "What are you talking about?" And I just kept on walking. Yeah, because it is fun to, like, just play and live in that fantasy world. So
yeah.
So I'm going to plug something for you, the Hub, because
yeah.
I want this to be a really a great moment for you to talk about that, because I think it's an awesome thing that you've put together.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it. Like, I know what I know from, like, the website a little bit and, you know, hearing you talk about classes, but, like, what inspired you to do that?
A friend of mine approached me about teaming up because mm-hmm. we're both independent improv teachers, and I thought it was a good idea because he was like, you know, we'll combine our mailing list. You'll get people from this theater and I'll get people from that theater.
Mm-hmm.
And, so basically it was just that, a website where we both put up our classes and then we wanted to sponsor other people.
Mm-hmm.
People from out of town, like Kevin Maloney or Joe Bill or any of them, if they want to come and teach a class in New York, we could set that up for them easier.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more legit. That's about all it is. It's like you can always go on there and see what classes I'm teaching. Generally, Kronf classes or advanced Kronf classes, but sometimes I'll teach like a game day class, which is just all different approaches to game and mm-hmm. in improv. And then I teach a class called Improv Therapy,
mm-hmm.
which is really interesting and very difficult on my brain, so I don't teach as often as mm-hmm. I would like. And right now we have Julia Weinman, who's teaching some storytelling classes.
Mm-hmm.
And we have James III, who is an amazing character, improviser, actor, tours around the country with his one-man show. He's doing a class right now called Impressions and Characters.
Ooh, that's fun.
Which is the big thing that's happening right now at UCB. Matt's really trying to push us all to play more characters, or at least try to start working on having that in our arsenal.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's something, too, that I've noticed, like, just the fact that I'll just, like, kind of come up with a character, I'll, like, start a character thing, but then I kind of just let it go, like, back into the ether, but I'm like, I want to kind of retain some of that, because, not that necessarily that I want to plug it into, you know, all of my scenes or whatever, but it can be entertaining, building a one-man show, or utilizing it for even a stand-up bit, you know, or whatever you want to put it in for, like having it in your canon of artistic things is really good. So, because I've never really been, like, when I think I was younger, I kind of, like, was more into characters, but then as I got older and got more into studying the academia of it, like, it's just, I don't know, it kind of faded out, but I think it's kind of fading back in. So, yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd actually like to do a class with him. Like, that would be,
yeah,
because I'm all about impressions. I've been doing impressions since I was freaking 5 years old.
They're tough.
Ugh, yeah, they're really tough. I have a song where I do Scooby, Shaggy, and Scrappy, where I rap as Scooby, Shaggy, and Scrappy. I wrote the lyrics and I recorded it as the voices. I also do Kermit the Frog, Fozzie, and then like this off goat character, like Adam Sandler's old goat character. I did like his cousin. And do this whole thing. It's silly, entertaining, but I should probably find it on the internet somewhere and put it back out there.
Yeah,
it's
why
fun.
Not?
Yeah, characters. Yeah. So with the Hub and everything, how's that kind of helped you in what you're doing? I mean, like with the independent stuff, is that really like given you like another I don't know, rebooting in what you're, like, you're... Because I know some people feel like they get stagnant sometimes, you know, or, like, they're doing the same thing. Has that been, like, a refreshing thing for you to do? I don't know how long, actually, you've been doing it, so...
I don't know if I understand the question.
The question is, did it give you, like, another,
I make more money.
Well, that's not...
Because I have more visibility. I just didn't care about advertising my classes, which is why I always got students, because it seemed like I was so underground.
But, sure,
like,
that's
I
what
would,
mean.
You know, I would just post something on my Facebook wall and hope 12 people would message me.
Yeah.
So it gave me legitimacy, and it gave other people an opportunity to teach random classes that they would want to teach.
Yeah, I guess, like, did it make you feel, like, self-reliant? You know, like,
yeah,
doing it on your own, you know, with your friend.
It helped. I mean, I've been teaching for about 5 years pretty consistently on my own.
Mm-hmm.
Just setting up my own classes and teaching them, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I guess I teach way more now, and mm-hmm. I make way more money now.
And I make a money maker.
Yeah. I mean, I make more money teaching independently than any of the teachers make at any of the theaters.
Wow.
No matter who they are.
Yeah. That's cool.
Challenge
though.
Me. Mm. Ask me how much I make
dun,
a month,
dun,
teachers.
Dun.
Yeah.
Wow. That's intense.
Great. Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Well, we are getting close to the end.
Okay.
I know, right? Seems like it just started. but I like to always kind of flip the script on my guests and have them maybe ask me a question or two. If they'd want to. So is there anything that you particularly would like to ask me?
Mm.
Or you can think about it for a second.
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Do the thinky sound.
I feel like I know everything about you.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I guess if you had your pick of, like, a job in New York, what would it be?
That's a really good question, since I have most service industry experience, but I don't want to be in the service industry anymore. I don't know. It's such a... And that's something I think I've been kind of contemplating, because, you know, I mean, I want to be... I want to be a teacher. I think I have a teaching degree, and I want to teach in some way. But I think I've just kind of finally given up on public education and teaching to those kind of standards. Teaching is so hard, though, and I love that you do independent teaching because you do. That's like it's you, it's yours. Whereas, like, when you work for a theater or a school or a university, that's their curriculum. Typically, it's their, you know, standards, all that stuff that goes into it. So. But I just have this love of sharing knowledge. So if I had my ultimate job, it would be like, I don't know, like maybe like an old historian where I could just like give people like histories. Like maybe like, I, you know, it's kind of funny. I really feel like I'd be good at guided tours.
I was just going to say, you should just work on the ride.
Honestly.
Which is just like fun tour guide. Like my friend Dave Ebert, who I've talked to you about
yeah.
many times. He worked on the ride, and, like, he rapped on the ride.
Yeah.
And, like, he was on the Today Show for, like, I think he, like, rapped or something.
That's awesome.
About being on the ride.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can make some really decent money in New York being a tour guide.
Mm-hmm.
There's a million different things you could be a tour
right.
guide for.
Yeah. And I do feel like that, again, it's like you're teaching, but you're teaching in a different way because you'd be utilizing like, skills of being, like, a performer. Of being educated, your own personal just like love of history. I mean, there's so much history in New York City, and people want to know that. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's astounding. So, yeah, I think that's definitely something, you know. Like, and I'm over time, I'd like to be able to become like a writer, if it's, you know, whether it's for like a blog or jokes or whatever, but you know, like I want to be able to not just have to like focus on one specific job. I want to
oh,
be
yeah.
able to
you
like
can't in New York.
Right.
Everybody has 7 jobs in New York.
Right. And I like that. I think that I've always felt that way. I mean, there was a point in Kansas City where I was working 4 jobs and people go, "What, how do you juggle so many jobs, especially in Kansas City?" And it's like, "Well, I just don't go home." And and I don't have much of a social life.
I don't sleep. I do not eat.
Yeah. Oh, I eat.
I am a robot.
I always eat. I am a robot. So yeah, I think that'd be fun. So something I'd have to look into, I think.
Oh yeah, that's mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah. So anything else?
Construction going on outside.
I know, right? We're getting all the fun sounds of New York in the background. I also have a cat attached to my back at the current moment.
She attached to you?
She was, yeah.
Oh, her butt's touching your butt.
Yeah, she's been there for a while, so...
She likes you.
Yeah, this is the most, I think, laid-back recording I've ever had, which is really great, because it's just been, like, sounds of New York and, like, cat roaming around and...
Can I do rapid-fire questions to you?
Yeah.
Okay, favorite color?
It's black and white, which is stupid because there's not really color. So other than that, probably red.
Okay. Red Sox or Yankees?
Red Sox.
Smart. skiing or beaching?
Ooh, that's tough. Skiing.
Okay.
Skiing. I love the beach, but I'm so self-conscious of taking my shirt off in public. I have to get over that.
Yeah, just work out and then you'll get over it.
Thank you.
That's what I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Steak and cheese sandwich or hot dog?
Steak and cheese.
Yes. Cheddar or mozzarella?
Mozzarella.
Oh. Blah, blah, blah. How do you like your hamburger?
Medium rare.
Good.
Yeah.
Hell's Kitchen or MasterChef?
Hell's Kitchen. Because I like that it's so intense. Like, you have to fucking prove yourself. You have to be the best.
Right.
I hate to say that. I don't know how that makes me sound pretentious or an asshole, whatever. But, like, I love that people strive to be the best they can be. Mm-hmm. That makes me want to do my best all the time.
Favorite cartoon character?
Oh man, Woody the Woodpecker.
Really? Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it was. I always loved to watch old Woody the Woodpecker episodes. The hijinks. I've always been into hijinks, and I used to get caught a lot as a kid. I would be that kid that got caught second doing something or whatever, and so I slowly over time developed a system of not getting caught. And to this day, I still don't get caught.
How many times have you been arrested?
None.
How many times do you think I've been arrested?
Two.
Oh, you knew that already.
I have been charged with battery, though. Like, I beat a kid up.
Nice.
Yeah, so I was charged with battery, but the charges were dropped.
Okay.
At the time, I was afraid, too, that that would affect how I got a job as a teacher.
Yeah.
And because they wouldn't want somebody with a battery charge around children.
Sure.
But then I look at the world and see that there's, like, fucking sex offenders and way worse people that can still get jobs and doing things like that. And I was just like, okay, in a fit of drunken stupidness, hit some kid in the face. And that's going to, like, affect the rest of my life. Like, I don't know. It was silly, but the whole thing was silly and it got dropped and, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Where's the next place you're going to get a tattoo?
Ooh, that's a good question. I've been contemplating also on that as well. I have ideas for sleeves. So I really want to do sleeves, but it's a lot of money. But I it's time for me to get my Star Wars tattoo somewhere. Like, I had an idea. I had an idea for one, but it's never going to get done. So I need to switch it and do something else.
Okay.
So I think... I think I need to get one done, but I haven't decided where on my body yet. So
okay.
Maybe on the other side of my neck.
No.
Ah!
No, no more neck tattoos.
No more neck tattoos.
Done.
I got a lot of compliments this weekend on my tattoos from a lot of different people, especially one of my coaches from LA. He was just like, man, your tattoos are great. Like, I don't
people
even
like tattoos.
Yeah. And I know, and then we got into that whole, like, being an actor thing and how, you know, like, actors don't have tattoos, but the stigma is changing, you know what I mean? Like, it...
Eh.
Yeah.
You want to probably try to keep them...
covered and
neck down at this point.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever.
You'll get more work.
I could be like Johnny Depp.
Johnny Depp doesn't have any tattoos above his neck.
Doesn't he? I thought he did.
No.
No?
Uh-uh.
No. Makeup. Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah. Is that it?
Yeah.
Cool. Good, good, good. All right. Well, that's all the time that we have today. So thank you so much, Amy, for being on the show.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
You are.
And yeah. Everybody go check out thehub.com, right?
Nope. It hub is dot... improvtraininghub.com.
Well, I suck at life. improvtraininghub.com.
Correct.
Check it out and check out Amy's stuff with Krompf. You guys do e-improv.
I do.
Yeah.
You can watch my web series, Best Cupcakes in the World, or Upton Abbey.
Yeah, both very funny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, awesome. Cool. Thank you so much.
Thanks.